And so I bid you all grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. My brothers and sisters in Christ, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature. And as odd as it may seem, that's actually the Christmassy bit in this episode from Jesus' childhood, that he who is wisdom itself nevertheless submitted to having to grow in wisdom like the rest of us per his humanity. That he who is infinite and almighty, who fills all things and contains all things, nevertheless submitted to growing in stature and maturing in his flesh like any other person. That he who is the same yesterday and today and always, who is changeless, nevertheless grew. Now I say that that's Christmassy here on this ninth day of the season because the focus of Christmas is on the wonder of the incarnation, that God took our flesh and nature to himself in Jesus, born at Bethlehem, to redeem us fallen children of Adam. Some of you may recognize that Jesus' trip to the temple here when he was 12 does kind of a double duty at this time of year. That is, it also appears not only as a Christmas reading, but gets used as a reading in the Epiphany season as well, when our focus shifts to how it was that God revealed the man Jesus to be the promised Christ. And certainly the amazement that Jesus brought to those teachers of the law at the temple was revelatory, that he was no normal 12-year-old boy. But as it is still Christmas, let us focus on what Jesus does here for us as the incarnate one. I think there are four things that we should take note of. First is that he was 12. That is, it's a little better now, 12 years since he had taken humanity to himself in the womb of Mary, but he was still, well, only 12. It was unlikely his voice had changed. He was still regarded by all as a child. He was bound to his parents by law and human need. He didn't speed up the aging process for himself. He simply let it take its time. And then he was submissive or subordinate to Joseph and Mary. And while I always get questions about whether Jesus wasn't being a little bit cheeky here, what you need to remember is that he is God. And yet, he takes commands from Joseph and Mary. He did chores. He took out the garbage. He picked up around the house. All that was required of him, he gladly did, even though he was their God. Knowing that order is good and necessary and that the law needed to be fulfilled, Jesus happily submitted to Joseph and Mary. And third, as I noted at the outset, he let himself, per his humanity, grow in wisdom and maturity like any other person. And just let that one sink in for a moment. Jesus had to study and learn like a human being, just like the rest of us do. He refused to draw on his divine nature in order to take shortcuts in his development. And finally, he told Joseph and Mary that he must literally be in the things of my Father. That is, even as a child, he was still set apart to do the work of God, to be in the midst of God's things, to be fully occupied in the work of his divine nature. And Jesus' assumption of our flesh and nature then opens a way for us to come to him and to be caught up into his life. For instance, what does it matter to you or me that he was 12? Well, consider how impatient we often are, not wanting to wait, not wanting to take time, not wanting to delay reward or gratification. In Christ, who took the time to be 12, we learn to be patient. We learn to trust in God's will and time. In Christ, we can learn that God will bring us to the right time and that there's nothing to fear in either delay or waiting. And in Jesus' subordination to Joseph and Mary, we too can learn to submit. But boy, we hate that one, right? We live in a culture of assertion, culture of freedom, a culture of ego. But we must abandon ego and recognize that God has given us order for the good of our neighbor. And so let us in Christ learn to submit when it is our calling to do so. Then in Jesus learning wisdom, you and I can learn to be content to learn as we are able, not needing to take shortcuts, not needing to receive instant knowledge. Some things, after all, are only learned with time and experience and maturity. And in Christ, we can accept that. And finally, We too are called to be in the things of our Heavenly Father. Yet too often we are only concerned with our own things. But in Christ we are called to be immersed in the Word, to learn and know it because it is God's Word. We are called to be occupied with mercy and grace. We are set apart for forgiveness. These are the things of the Father. These are the things of our Father that you and I are given to. So as Christ once grew in our flesh, let us grow into him as the Lord grants it, content that even now we are being shaped to be like him who made himself to be like us. Even so, amen. And now may that peace that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus until the glorious day of his appearing. Amen.